On the back of this bulletin are sermon notes, and we're not going to go through this sermon. This is a sermon I prepared. It's actually a two-part sermon that I was going to give this week and then in a couple of weeks, but sometimes God changes it. So who am I to say, no, God, I'm going to preach what I want. And so I'm going to preach what I believe God wanted you to hear this morning. So Gay did not make a mistake and put the wrong sermon on there. You're okay, Gay. You did your job perfectly. I'm the one who, I told her Thursday morning, right after our prayer time, I said, well, you did a good job, but we're not going to have that sermon this week. So you'll have to, and this was a really good sermon, by the way. And so you have to wait a couple of weeks to hear that one. All right? So that's kind of a look behind the curtain. And sometimes, you can ask Pastor Neely and Pastor Steve that, the Lord moves sometimes and he just wanted something different today. So Thursday morning during our prayer time, we were discussing and we were praying about the upcoming launch of our family groups. And during that prayer time and discussion, one of the men pointed out that they weren't so sure about the family groups and what their intention and their purpose might be. And so because we will be launching our family groups this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday night, I wanted to clarify what exactly we're doing here, because some of you might not be really aware exactly why we're doing this and why we're stepping out. We're stepping outside the walls here. And so it's a new experience for us and for many of us. So I want to clarify and take this opportunity to clarify the who, the what, the why we are launching our family groups. The first day that I walked into Steve's office and sat down and talked to him, Steve shared with me the vision that he had for First Baptist Church as we move forward. He shared with me that he felt God was moving First Baptist Church in a direction towards small group ministry. And I shared with Steve, it just so happens God brings some guy into Steve's office who has a background with small groups and with small group ministry. And so we kind of meshed pretty good that first day. I still had, some, not everybody. Anyway, I love Steve, so. And since that very first meeting, the very first time Steve and I met, we've been praying and discussing about implementing small groups here at First Baptist Church of Rockland. And I hope, and this is my hope for this sermon, that when you leave the church this morning, that you'll have a better understanding of the vision that I believe God has given Pastor Steve and concerning the small group ministries here at First Baptist Church of Rockland. And I also hope that all of you will embrace that vision as your own. Because it's not just his vision. We want it to be the vision of the whole church. And I know as with anything new, there are questions, concerns, and maybe even some doubts. It's like, I don't even like to drive to new places. Someone says, well, I live here, and you got to look at the map, and you got to drive around I'm not so sure about this. And, I can understand with something that simple we have qualms about, something that is transformational in our church. I think it's legitimate to have those questions and concerns and maybe even some doubts. So I want to assure you of this, and this one thing is that nothing is done in this church without having a biblical foundation. What we do rests upon the scriptures. And this morning I want to share with you the premise of our family groups and the biblical foundation and purpose for why we are launching them. And also why they will be an important part of our mission to our church. Do you know what the mission of our church is? Exactly. The mission of this body of believers here in Rockland is to know Christ and to make Christ known. And so these family groups will be part of that foundation of making Christ known, of knowing Christ and making Christ known. So let me jump right into the why. Why are we doing this? First of all, 95% of the churches in the United States, and I don't know if you know this or not, are under 100 members. And part of the reason for this is because the pastor, and most of those churches have only one pastor. God has blessed this church with 3 seminary-trained ministers. I mean, that's very unusual for a church this size. But part of the reason that smaller churches are unsuccessful is because the pastor is trying to give good pastoral care to every single member of the church. And that's an almost, and it is, it honestly is an impossible task for a pastor. But our goal is to, instead of having the pastor try to care for each member, we want to make sure that every single member of this church has good pastoral care. And that's one of the whys of launching these family groups, so that each and every one of you can receive the pastoral care that you need. And we all need that. And also, all through church history, before or during and with or without persecution, active participation in a house church was not considered an option. It was the normal process. Churches have always met from the very beginning. From the very day of Pentecost forward, have all met in homes, not necessarily in a big congregational setting like this. So, a few more reasons of why we're launching these family groups. First of all, and this is an important reason, I want you to hear this. The Triune God is a missional and relational community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has always been in relationships. Relationship is important to God. It's so important to God, relationships, that he sent Jesus here to die on a cross, to restore the relationship between him and us. That's how important relationship is to God. So don't sell that short. Relationship is important, and God is a relational God. Now, this one living God invites all of us into a covenant community with him and with others and with his creation. And the intention of living in kingdom community is to love one another. We're commanded. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another. And so that's the why of our family groups. Now, here's the purpose of our family groups. I'm going to give you 5 core purposes. First of all, is spiritual growth and understanding and relationship with the living God. We want all of you to grow spiritually in your understanding of God and your relationship with God. Number 2, we want to foster transforming spiritual growth within each member of our church body. We want to foster transforming, not just spiritual growth. We want to have transforming spiritual growth. Number 3, we want to develop authentic and caring relationships. I can't have necessarily a caring relationship with every one of you, but within these small groups, we can foster and develop authentic and caring relationships. Number 4, we want to share Christ's love with the world around us, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and those the Lord would lead us to or who God leads to us. We want to share Christ with every single person. That's everybody. That's one of our goals. And number 5, we want to connect people to the broader First Baptist Church family, community, and its mission. So those are the 5 purposes of our family groups. That is the why and the purpose. And as I said earlier, everything we do in this church has a biblical foundation. So I want to quickly this morning, and go through this with you rather quickly, the biblical foundation of our family groups, And if you look on the foyer on the board for the family groups, you'll see a scripture there. It's from Acts 2:42. And we're going to read that today. And if you would like to, turn in your Bibles to Acts 2:42, and I'm going to read verses 42 through 47. And it says this, "And they devoted themselves," this was right after Pentecost, right after the 3,000 people were saved. It says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And then fear or awe came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed them and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. And they ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved." Now, quick history lesson here on the book of Acts. The book of Acts is really a history of the early church. When you read through it, it's really meant to be read in one sitting. It's a brief little history of the early church. And the literal translation of the title, we see in our Bibles a lot of times it says Acts of the Apostles, but the literal translation is really Acts of the Apostolic Men. It is what is called a praxeus, and that was a common designation of a certain type of literature in the ancient world. It was a literature that told of the exploits of famous characters. Like, they would have writings that would say, like, the Acts of Hercules, the Praxeus of Hercules, or the Acts of Alexander the Great. So, yeah, it's just I don't know that that means much, but verse 42, though, tells us this. It tells us what the early Christians did. And really, when you read this passage, verse 42, it sums up the process and the goal of our family groups. And I want to focus in verse 42 today on the word devoted. They devoted themselves. Now, this comes from the Greek word, and somewhere down the line, Pastor Steve, we're going to have a class. We want to teach people Greek, not just, we want to teach you Greek so you can look these things up for yourself. So here's your first, Steve's going to do that. As soon as he gets out of Hebrew, he's going to go right to Greek, right? No. Okay. Anyway, so here's your first lesson, I guess. The word devoted is the Greek word that comes from, this is a Greek word, actually. It's proskaterio. Okay. Proskaterio. So you can amaze and all your friends and throw that out to them at the next party you go to. The word means to be earnest towards something, to persist or to persevere, to continually be diligent or to continually attend to all exercises or to adhere to something closely. It also means to continue in. In our vernacular, it really means this, to keep on keeping on, to keep going, to keep doing what you're doing. It was also meant to serve personally and to be a faithful person. So it's much more than just showing up. This word, when it says they devoted themselves, really means this. It means that they invested themselves and their lives into what they were doing. They invested themselves and their lives into what they were doing. And this is going to be the foundation of our family groups, that not only the leaders and the host, but all of us would invest, that we would all devote ourselves to the Bible study, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers that will be found in our groups. So what is it that they actually devoted themselves to? First of all, to the apostles' teaching, what we would call today to Bible study. They devoted themselves to Bible study. Now, the early church, the Bible study may have looked a little bit different than ours. Most of it would have come out of the Old Testament. And the early church probably focused a lot on the Old Testament teachings, but they also focused on the nature of salvation, and of course they focused on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And there were people there teaching them who actually walked with Christ, who actually ate with Christ, who actually saw Christ. So there was a firsthand account of Jesus. And so they devoted themselves to these teachings. They would share with what Jesus said and what he had done for them. So the first thing that they devoted themselves to was to Bible study. And the Bible studies in our family groups will be much of the same. The Bible is going to be the foundation of our family groups. So it's just that simple. We are going to focus on the Bible, and around that we're going to grow these groups. But the next thing they devoted themselves to was to fellowship. Now here's another Greek word, and I'm sure all of you, most of you I would say, have heard this word before, the word koinonia. Anybody hear the word koinonia before? Okay. The word koinonia is a word that denotes intimacy. It's used 19 times in the New Testament, and for the most part, it is used for the unique sharing that Christians have with God and with other Christians. It's a word for fellowship, but it's much deeper than that. It's an intimacy. So there you go. You learned two Greek words today. We're off to a good start for your Greek class, Steve. So in our family groups, we want to facilitate the concept of koinonia. We want to build close personal relationships both with God and with one another. This is the main, really, purpose of our family groups, is to build a closer relationship with God and a closer relationship with one another. So we want to develop a koinonia community, okay? The third thing that they focused on was the breaking of bread. Now, the Jewish custom in those days was when they ate a meal, they would pronounce a blessing, break the bread, and distribute the bread at the beginning of a meal. And most scholars believe that the phrase here in this particular passage of Acts really referred to the Lord's Supper. And in this context, that's probably the case. But this breaking of the bread was also probably part of ordinary fellowship meal. Like, we're going to have a potluck next week. We're going to be breaking bread together, as they say. And so that's what they would do at a meal. They would break the bread and share it with one another. So that's what we get to practice at next week. So be there. That's one good reason to be there. While we celebrate here in our church the Lord's Supper, and we do it on special occasions, you know, once a month or so, I think, there are those who believe that some in the early church, the only time they celebrated the Lord's Supper was on the Passover, once a year. It was an annual event, so that made that breaking the Lord's Supper an even special thing. But, you know, really, here's my personal thought about breaking of bread and the Lord's Supper and everything. I think that every time we break bread, whether it's formally in a ceremony of the Lord's Supper or in our regular everyday meals, that the breaking of bread should always be a reminder of God's blessing to us and of Jesus' sacrifice to us. That was really the purpose of that breaking of the bread and sharing it, was to be a reminder that God blesses us and that Jesus sacrificed for us. Now, sharing together can be a part of our family groups, but when you skip down to verse 46, it says that they ate the food with joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all people. And let me just say here, I want to say this. I am so grateful for the three women who have volunteered to open up their houses to this church. I want to thank Nancy Richards and P.J. Jacobs and Suzanne Rackey, who volunteered to host these groups. You know, it's not an easy task to open your house for friends and in some cases strangers, for people to come in every week to your house. And I want you this week to be in prayer for them. I want you to pray that God would give them an extra measure of grace because they are opening their homes to this church and to the people in this church. So God bless you. Thank you. I appreciate that you have done that. The fourth thing that they devoted themselves to was prayer. Now, prayer in the early church practiced the understanding of prayer that Jesus gave them. The prayer was an intimacy with God. The early church used the Aramaic word that Jesus used. He used the word Abba. Now, the word Abba, it means father, but it means more than that. It literally means daddy. It's more of a relationship of that child with their dad. You know, I always love it when my sons call me and, Dad, you know, it kind of tears me up sometimes. But they go, I love you, Dad. It's, you know, it's great to hear that from your child. You know, I mean, so that's the idea of that prayer. Jesus taught them to pray that way. So praying to God and for one another is an important part of our family groups. And in some cases, maybe the most important thing in our family groups. It gives us the opportunity, because we are a praying church, this gives us the opportunity to become prayer warriors for one another on a more intimate basis. Now, we've experienced that in the training that we did for our family groups, did we not? We experienced that intimacy, that prayer that comes with that. And it's a powerful thing. And this is going to help us as a church to develop what I call prayer bonds. These prayer bonds are not possible when we meet only on a Sunday morning. Now, it's okay to pray for one another on Sunday morning, but we're not going to develop those deep prayer bonds with one another just on Sunday morning. And I want to share from my experience that this is one of the most life-changing aspects of meeting in a small group and with small groups. And from my experience, and I tell you this, that I have seen lives change. I have literally seen lives change because of the prayer bonds that develop within small group settings. You know, it's an incredibly exciting, it's just incredibly exciting, and it's spiritually life-changing part of being involved in a family group. If for no other reason, you should go just for the prayer part of it. Now let me read verse 43 for you. Verse 43 says, "Then fear or awe came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles." We want to be a church that follows through on those who come to know Christ. You know, God was moving in the early church. Now, how many of you believe that God is moving in the church as a whole, and our church today? How many of you really believe that God is moving in our church? I believe he's moving in this church, and I believe he's going to use our family groups as a place where we will see his hand upon us. I don't know what the signs and wonders are going to be. I really don't. I don't know if God is going to change the laws of physics for us one day, and we see, you know, some really, you know, wild miracle, but it happens. I believe that it happens. But I do know this one thing. I know that God still answers prayer, and I do know that God's Holy Spirit dwells here with us. He is here to teach us and to comfort us and to even carry our prayers to our Abba Father. Now, we witnessed last Sunday, we witnessed the movement of God. And, you know, I don't want to embarrass him, but, you know, Dan came forward last week and he shared with us his acceptance of Jesus as his Savior. Now, some just sort of, you know, they go home and really don't even think about that. But you know what? That's a movement of God. We should be in awe. We should be like the early church was, in awe. It should come over all of you that something like that happens. It awes me. I'm in awe that God saved me. I'm in awe that God moved upon Dan's life and came into, you know, he's a new creation. That's what the scripture says. That is a miracle. That is a movement of God. be in awe, First Baptist Church. Be in awe of the living God, because that's how he moves in our lives. Are you in awe? Amen? Okay. Now, verse 44 through 47 says this. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex. They broke bread from house to house and they ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all people. And every day the Lord added to those who were being saved. Now, the point of these verses is not that we sell everything and and put it into one big pot and you just come and take what you want when you want. The point of this is that the property was sold according to the needs of people. And really the point is that if someone has a need, part of our obligation as a church is to fulfill that need, to help them with that need, and to help people on an ongoing basis with their needs. These early Christians took an interest in the daily and ongoing needs of one another. And this is another exciting aspect of meeting in small groups. It gives us an opportunity to address not only the physical, but the spiritual needs of one another. And I would just mention this on the side, that if any of you have a 65-inch flat-screen TV you want to donate, be glad to take. It is football season, right? Okay, anyway. That's silly. Okay. That's bad. Okay, really. But really bad. All right. They met every day. They met either in the temple complex or they met for fellowship and meals at different people's houses. Now, Pastor Steve touched on this last week. Look, we can't build relationships with one another if we only see each other, you know, for 1 hour on Sundays. We just can't. I cannot build a relationship with you, seeing you and saying hi to you on Sunday morning. And most of the time, that's in passing. And I love seeing all your faces, but we're not building a relationship. We're not being involved in each other's lives. So I would say you cannot grow and thrive as a Christian if Sunday morning is the only koinonia, the only intimate fellowship with other Christians that you experience. And the family groups will give you an opportunity to expand your koinonia experience. That's what we want. We want to expand that fellowship experience. And verse 47 says that the Lord added to their number the number of those being saved. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9 says this. First, and this is Paul speaking, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. You see, God uses our efforts, but we need to put ourselves in a place where God can use us. And that place within this body of believers, and I know this is a change and it's a little uncomfortable, but that place is going to be within these family groups. This is where God is going to do his work in this church. And the small groups are the place where God will be able to use us in a more vibrant and deeper way. Now, the entire Christian life is meant to be done in community. Spiritual growth, battling sin, battling the enemy Satan, and serving God helps keep us accountable when we're in a small group setting. Hebrews 10:24 says this, let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Our family groups will be a place where people feel welcomed and wanted. We live in such a competitive, fast-moving culture, and there's a lot of pretense out there. And what we want to do, our family groups will help people to drop that pretense and to allow them to be themselves. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are lonely. There's a lot of people out there, and maybe some in this church, who are lonely. And we want to give those people, our friends, our neighbors, our family, our fellow church members, an oasis. Give them a place where they'll feel loved and accepted. John 10:10, in John 10:10, Jesus said, A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Now, Jesus wants us to live a full life. As a Christian, this can only be done within the church community. Fellowship is the most important part of a believer's life because it's through that fellowship that we study the Bible, that we're in prayer, that we break bread together, that we have this koinonia relationship. And our groups will emphasize Bible study, prayer, and the building of relationship, and it's for all of our benefit. We want everyone to become the people of God who correctly, as Timothy 2:15 says, handle the word of truth. And I want to finish this morning with a quote from Michael Jordan. Everybody know who Michael Jordan is? Basketball player? He was asked if he was afraid when he made a shot that won a championship. And here's how he answered. He said this, "You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take." Now, Pastor Steve and Pastor Neely and I and the hosts and leaders that train for our family groups, we're just simply asking this, that you go out there, go on the court, and take a shot. And I guarantee you that you're going to be blessed. You are going to be blessed because you went to a family group. And there's a couple of quick things I want to address in that. I know there's some of you may not even be able to physically make it to the family groups. And if that's the case, you know, at the end of the service today, our leaders are going to be out at that table. And if there's an issue with you getting to the groups, let them know. And I'm not kidding you. We will make every effort to get you to these groups. We want you to be involved. We want you to step out there and take those shots because it's important that you're involved in these groups. So, like I said, I guarantee you'll be blessed. If like you're not gonna know unless you step out there, like Michael Jordan said, and take that, you know, 30-foot shot that wins the championship. So that's what we're asking you to do. Please don't miss out on the blessing that God has in store for you within these small groups. And so, we launched this week our family groups, and I know that God's going to bless them, and I invite every one of you to be involved in those. Pray with me, church. Lord, we are so grateful that you desire this relationship with us as believers. Thank you, God, that Jesus came to this planet and shed his blood and died for our sins. And Lord, I ask you to personally invite each person here that's within my voice to our family groups this week. Lord, that you would help them to arrive there and help them to be blessed there. And so, God, I pray for the leaders, I pray for the host, I pray for the households that are involved in this. I pray for our church, Lord, as we step outside these walls and into our community. I pray you would bless that, God. And I thank you for each one here because, Jesus, I know that you love them. And I pray that you would touch them in their heart of hearts and bless them in this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.